Shall we, Father, we come before you this morning thanking you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we're weak and weary sometimes, and you strengthen us in the inner man, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunities that you've given us in this life to serve you, and we pray, Father, that we might serve you faithfully, that we might serve you in the Spirit, and that we might glorify you in all that we do and think and say. And this morning, as we've gathered together and through these hours that are before us, we'd ask that you might minister to us in a very special way, that we might grasp a hold of the truth. And you told us the truth will set us free. And we want to know, and we want to understand, and we want to know you better. And so we'd ask this morning that you'd guide and direct us. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As you probably know, I don't know that this needs to be on the tape at this point, but we had the funeral on Friday, and that went well, I think. We were at Weaverland Mennonite Church on 850? What's that route number out there? I don't know what the road is, but anyway, 897. And we had a nice time there, and as any funeral would go, but I think that I delivered a salvation message to the people, and we had some response from that, which was good. We had a good response from the people. Anyway, we're in Malachi, so if you want to turn there, these are a series of charges and replies. God using Malachi to ask a question and to reply to that question, or make a statement and reply to that statement. And it goes all the way down through. The first oracle is in regard to God's love. And Israel questions, how have you loved us? God says, I have loved you. And the question is, how have you loved us? And God said, he took them back to Esau and Jacob, of all things. And he said, look at Esau and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he said, where is Esau today? The land of Edom has become a desolate place. It's a wilderness. What about the Israel? Where are they? The Jews are back in the land. They've been in the land for over 100 years now. After the Babylonian captivity, they've come back. They're dwelling in the land. Things are going well for them, but they have begun to misuse the God's ordinances and God's commandments. So God is asking him, how have you loved me? Well, Edom, look at Esau and Jacob, and look at the results of my love to Jacob and my hatred to Esau. The question is, we brought up, is God, can God hate? And if he's a loving God and a righteous God, can he hate? Well, he tells us he does. And we don't understand. I assume that those are words that are given to us. I don't think God gets angry like you and I get angry. God has a righteous anger, and but he doesn't get angry like you and I get angry. When I get angry, I get frustrated. Lose my cool. God never loses his cool. He's always the same. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So although God does not, his hatred is in the results that he's brought upon the people. And certainly Edom has suffered, and Esau's ancestry has suffered as a result of his love for Jacob and his hatred for Esau. The second oracle, that was in verses 2 to 5. The second oracle deals with honoring God or respecting God. And Malachi is speaking again on behalf of God, and he points out that he says, a son honors his father and a slave his master. The Old Testament, you remember, a son honors his father. The Old Testament suggested that children ought to obey their parents. And, of course, it wasn't a suggestion, it was a commandment, wasn't it? And Israel has broken that commandment. And they're going to ask, how have we broken it? But that's the question. This is a serious charge that is being brought against Israel, and particularly the priesthood. This is the fifth commandment that God has issued. If you go back in the Old Testament, you find that this is the fifth commandment, that children ought to obey their their parents and honor their father and mother, I should say. I'm still flipping over these pages. I've lost my place here. Just hold on a second. I should never do this. I printed on both sides of paper, and I've never done that before. Now I'm losing my place. Here we are. Now I got it. All right. The Old Testament did not make a suggestion. It was a command that was given to the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." The word honor there is the word kabod. It's K-A-W-B-A-D if you transliterated it. It literally means, it has basically two meanings. If it's used in a bad sense, it means heavy or burdensome. But in a good sense, it meant rich or honorable. And it has the idea to treat someone with as significant in the life of a person. The point is that children ought to care for their parents, and particularly their elderly parents. And that is not the case with Israel, of course. But that was a basic element of the social responsibilities of godly piety in the nation Israel. How do you honor your father and your mother? And they were disciplined. It's a commandment. It was tied directly to Israel in the land. You'll notice that phrase. It was in the land. So that you may live long in the land. The word there is ge, is G-E in the Hebrew or in the Greek, and it has the idea of the land that God has promised them. That land, when you're in that land, you ought to honor your mother and father. That's the idea of this. And if you do, you will dwell long in the land. If you don't, you'll be taken out. And they have been taken out a number of times. Do you remember in Matthew, if you want to turn over to Matthew 15, an interesting passage of Scripture, and showing you how Israel justified their actions. Do you remember I told you a lot of the laws, they interpreted the laws. Illegal to walk more than a Sabbath day's journey, which is about 3/5 of a mile. Then you're working. You break the law if you walk in the grass on the Sabbath day because you're sowing. And you go on and on with the interpretation of this. But here is a situation where Israel come up with an excuse, and the excuse has to do with mother and father. And a parent asked the child for help. Could you give us $100 to see us over till next week? And they didn't want to do that. They were greedy. And so in this passage of Scripture, you find this concept brought out. Let me read it to you, beginning in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 15. "But he answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?'" That is, by your teachings, by your man-made teachings. "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death." In other words, you're going to be out of the land, you're going to die out of the land. "But you say, whosoever will say to his father and mother," now here's their excuse, "it is a gift. It is a gift. By whatsoever you might be profited by me." Now what he's saying is, you asked me for $100, and I would say to my parents, "Oh, I'm sorry, that $100 that I had that would help you, I just dedicated it to God. So I don't have that money to give you." Instead of honoring their parents, they use this as an excuse. They had no intention. This way, they kept the money. They really never gave it to God as an offering. They just were getting around it. And then he goes on to say, In verse 6, "And honor not his father and his mother, he will be free." He's not free. He's free from that obligation, or at least he thinks he's free from the obligation of helping his parents. "Thus you made the law, the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, by your teaching, by your doctrine, your false doctrine, doctrines of men, traditions of men." In other words, a parent, again, asking for money, "Oh, no, I can't give it to you. I just dedicated that amount. You asked me for $100. Don't have it today. I just dedicated that to the Lord. And now I can't give it to you. And they thought they were free from that. This, of course, was an excuse for them not to do it. Paul quotes this passage in Ephesians. You remember when he wrote to the Ephesians? He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with a promise." Now, it's not the first commandment, it was the fifth commandment. But this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is, if you keep this, you'll dwell long on the land. It's not long life for us. A lot of people quote that and say, well, if we honor our father and mother, we'll have long life on this earth. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking specific to Israel, and Paul is quoting the passage that we read in Exodus chapter 1 on children and parenting this morning, but I just want to make one thing. We know it takes time and energy to teach our children to obey. It's a difficult thing. You have to be there, you have to watch them, you have to be careful. Most parents ignore their children. They ignore their disobedience. As a matter of fact, some parents sort of think it's cute. The result is that we live in a society, and this is prevalent in our society. Children just get away with anything they want to do, and if they disobey, it doesn't matter. We'll just let it go. But it results in an undisciplined society, a society that is lawless, and where there is disobedient children, of course there is lawlessness. Now there are a lot of things that contribute to this: homes where there's no father. Parents both work, and they send their kids off to a day school. And I'm not criticizing some of them for doing that. I think that there's a place possibly for that. But fatherless homes and parents who know nothing about discipline themselves, they've never been trained and taught any discipline, results in a society that is running wild. See, raising obedient children is more than making children obey. The easy part is making them obey. You see, you take a 130 to 180 pound parent, and you have this 20 pound kid. Who should win? It's no contest. But it just doesn't seem to work that way. The winners always should be the parent. But the fact is, it doesn't work that way. And of course, there's other aspects of teaching children obedience. Parents have to obey the law too. Parents are just as guilty of breaking the law as their children. They see their parents angry and over little things, and the children get angry over things, and they just run wild. Children must be raised in an atmosphere of mutual respect and love. They must be taught obedience. That's very important. They must obey their parents in the Lord. Now, there comes a time in life when obedience is set aside. If a child gets married, or if he moves out and he's living on his own and the parents have given him freedom, he's no longer under the law to obey his parents. He doesn't have to do that. But there's another part of this, and that is respect. And regardless of how long the child is away or how old the child is or whether he's married or not married, he owes his parents respect for what they have done for him. He's returned their love and their care through the years that they've given him for the first maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I don't know how long they stay. See, Israel's disobedience to God was the result of a lack of respect for God and his word. They didn't honor God's word. Therefore, they did not honor him. See, a son honors his father and a slave his master. And if I am a father, God says, where is my respect? And if I am the master, I'm sorry, he asks, where is the honor due me? And if I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Do you know the result of what the result of a disobedience under a son who disobeyed under the law is? Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. If someone, he writes this, Moses writes this, if someone has a stubborn or rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother will take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They will say unto the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a gluttonous and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town are to stone him to death. Do you think this is a serious thing of disobeying parents? Did God see it as a serious thing? You better believe it. You're in the land. Children ought to obey their parents. If they don't, remember, this is a land that God was going to give them. It's going to be a holy land. It's a place where sin isn't going to be anymore. Or should not be. It was. See, you're to purge, he tells, goes on in verse 21. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear it and be afraid. Could you imagine if in a town, I don't know, Bougainville, and it was a disobedient son, and all the men got out, and the parents came and said, my son's been disobedient. He won't listen to us. He won't respect us. And all the men of the town pick up stones and stone them to death. Will that send a message to parents? Will that send a message to the kids? You better believe it. Now, I don't know of any case where it happened. But what God is showing is, I'm serious about this. Children are to obey their parents, they're to respect their parents. And if you do, you'll live long in the land. This is for Israel. Now, it's for us too, as Paul has written in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. If a father is due honor and a master is due respect, God asks, where is his honor and where is his respect? Israel showed no honor or respect to God. Even the priests showed contempt to God. In the priest's reply, how did we show contempt? Well, in verses 7 through verse 14, Malachi sets forth their disrespect and dishonoring of God. Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. We'll begin with verse 7. By offering defiled bread, he says in verse 7, on my altar. You disrespected me. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying the Lord's table is contemptible. They showed contempt to God by presenting defiled offerings. He mentions bread here. Bread is often used for any offering, but if they brought bread, if the bread was not prepared according to the law, it was defiled. If an animal was brought to the altar, and sometimes bread is used in relationship to this, I had Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 7, we won't go back there, or Leviticus chapter 3 verse 11, they're talking about offerings made by fire on the table. If you brought an animal that was defiled, it was blind or it limped or it had some skin disease, you know, I forget what they call it, but the what is it, mange, yeah, you know, the fur is falling off. God doesn't accept that. God does not accept it. And they were bringing these sacrifices to the altar, and they were defiled. And you'll notice they did not say, we have not defiled you. They said, how have we defiled you? It's like a little kid. And his mother bakes cookies and she puts them on the counter. And I'll use a little boy. For the little boy goes and he grabs a cookie and he takes it out. And he eats it. And the mother said, did you eat the cookies? And he says, what cookies? See, he's not denying it. He's just saying, what cookies? How did we defile you? What cookies are you talking about? What defilement are you talking about? They did not say, we have defiled you, or how have we defiled you, or how have we defiled you. They couldn't say that. They knew what the law said. They knew that the law required a perfect sacrifice, one that was undefiled and not polluted in any way. And yet they were bringing, how have we done this? How have we done this? Leviticus 22, verse 2 says, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from holy things and the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. See, they bring things, and they say it's holy, but they bring it defiled, it's not holy. Leviticus 22:32 says, neither shall they profane my name, my holy name, but I will hallow among, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. God respects them. He says, you bring the right sacrifices. So the priest asks these questions, and Malachi answers and says that they have defiled God by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. That's how you defile it. The Lord's table is contemptible. By the way, this is the only place in Malachi that the Lord's table is mentioned. It's mentioned twice. It's mentioned here in verse 7. It's also mentioned in verse 12. We have the Lord's table every quarter, but that's not the table he's talking about. We observe the Lord's table every quarter in remembrance of him. Here they're just showing this is the place where the sacrifices were made. And they're bringing the sacrifices to the table. They're laying on the table and they're defiled. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 19 says this, and you will pollute me among my people for a handful of barley and for pieces of bread today to stay the souls that should not die, but to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to the people, to my people, that hear your lies. What the priests were doing, they would take a sacrifice. They would people would come and offer up a sacrifice, and the priests literally would cast a spell on someone for them. Now the spell could be good or it could be bad. But here's what he says in Leviticus. I just read it to you. He said, and will you pollute me among my people with a handful of barley and a piece of bread to stay the souls that should not die and save the souls alive that should not live by your lying unto the people that hear your lies? And then in chapter 19, verse 26, says, you shall not eat anything with blood, neither use enchantments. That word enchantment, enchantments there is the word for spells. They were casting spells upon people, supposedly. You want to hurt someone, I'll cast a spell on them. Or you want to give someone a blessing, I'll cast a spell on them that God would bless them. And they were lying through their tongues, through their mouths. They had no right to do that. And here were the priests. This is an accusation against the priest. These are the ones that should know better. In verse 8, he says, and if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? So you ask me, how have we defiled? How have we showed contempt to you? You bring a sacrifice to me, and it's defiled. You offer the lame and sick. Is that not evil? They knew it was. See, would you offer that to the governor? If you were invited, you have to understand that when guests were invited to a governor's house or a ruler's house, they would bring gifts. They would bring, it would be sometimes like a potluck supper. We turn to Leviticus chapter 22, verse 19. Leviticus 22:19. he offering these things? You shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves of the sheep or the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall you not offer. For it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or to a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall not be a blemish within, blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or a scurry or scab. You shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altars of the Lord. This is prohibited. It's summarized in Deuteronomy 15, verse 21. Do I have that up there? I think it's in the next page. Deuteronomy 15, 21. He says this: "And if there be any blemish therein, as it is lame or blind or have an ill blemish, you shall not sacrifice unto the Lord your God." Don't do it. It's second rate. God doesn't deserve second rate. God doesn't deserve second best. He deserves the best. Would you offer God your blemished worship? Would you offer God seconds in your life? Certainly would insult God. I was saying that when you come to a meal sometimes, they would, in particular with the governor, a lot of people would be invited, and when they came, they would bring their sacrifices. Would you offer that kind of sacrifice? See, if you were called to service, would you just give them a little bit of it? Not your whole heart? Just give them a part of it? Hold back part of it? Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 17, he speaks about the governor's table, which was a lavish banquet. And the people would bring, they provided things. And you have a little picture of this in Nehemiah 5, 17. Here's what it says: "Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers." Now, this is a big table. It's a banquet, a long table. They're all set up. Besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that were about. So there's even more than that. Many guests, and many of these guests brought offering. And Malachi says, would you bring something that was blemished? Last week, Linda and I were running late. We were busy, and we came home, and we were both hungry, and we decided that we'd make hamburgers on the grill. And I said, "All right, I'll make the hamburgers on the grill." Well, I forgot about them. And they were burnt offerings. And then they said, "Well, I'm going to make some chocolate chip cookies." And she forgot about them. We had two burnt offerings in the same day. Now, if we were having a covered dish downstairs, do you think I would bring my burnt offerings down there? Or her burnt cookies down there? Would you go anywhere and offer that up to anyone? And here were the priests, they were offering up offerings that were polluted, that were burnt offerings, basically. Not perfect. God doesn't deserve that. God do more respect and more honor than that. And yet that's exactly what the priests were doing. They were offering up these things that were crippled and diseased. See, a governor wouldn't accept that. The governor said, "Take that plate out of here. I don't want that on my table." Having violated the clear instructions of the law, not only showed their disrespect, that is the priest's disrespect for God and his law, but see, it was a direct disobedience to the law. And in doing that, they disrespected God. Their offering showed open contempt to God. See, not only this, but the priest indulged the people. They accepted offerings that were not perfect, that were blemished or polluted. Not only would they take them, you have to understand how they did this. Well, my time is up. I'm sorry. I'll bring it up next week. You have to understand that when you brought an offering to the temple, it had to be perfect. And people traveled long distances, and sometimes they couldn't bring the offering with them. And so they would have to buy the offerings at the temple. And we'll discuss that next week. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you for the instructions that you've given us that we should obey our parents and the Lord, or children ought to obey their parents and Lord, and that we ought to honor and respect them for it. And Lord, age is no barrier. It covers all ages. And Father, we don't want to offer you things that are polluted or defective. We want to offer you our wholeheartedness out of a heart of love for you. So we thank you this morning for what you're doing. In Jesus' name.